Good evening, everyone. Welcome to sheerenjoyment.com. Special welcome and thank you to the one and only Jake Wyman, a special person who's devoted with his full heart and soul to program to the Harbatzas Torah of Klal Yisrael. A very special night after we begin Chodesh Adar Sheni. The Chodesh that Samuch to the Nes of Mitzias Mitzrayim, Masmich Geula LeGeula, the Geula of Purim to the Geula of Mitzrayim. And Jake does miracle work. Jake is part of the miracle because Jacob makes this possible. He thinks he doesn't, he sleeps, he dreams about TorahEnjoyment.com. He enjoys Torah, he loves Torah, and he wants everyone to learn Torah. And we are indebted to him for his incredible, incredible effort and hasmada, not just in learning, but in making Torah available for Klal Yisrael. We also want to thank Mitch Green. Mitch Green is a soldier. He's always there to make sure that everything works perfectly fine, everything technically works perfectly fine in sheerenjoyment.com. Now we begin by, of course, dedicating the Shir L'Zeichel L'Ila Nishmas Manish Yitzchak Ben Aryeh. May his neshama have an aliyah. And we thank our sponsor for their generosity in making this available, the sponsorship and making the Torah learning available for all of us. This week is Parshas Pikudei. Elef Pikudei HaMishkan Mishkan Hoidus. Asher Pukar Al Pi Moshe. We have a break in between Parshas. Parshas last week, Shkolim, and next week will be Parshas Zohar. We have an off Shabbos. We lay just one Parsha, Parshas Pekudei, but it's Shabbos Chazak. Chazak, Chazak, Venis Chazik. I'd like to talk about a simple idea, nothing simple, but an idea, a short idea. And that is the difference between gold and silver. Two different types of metals. There is a metal of gold and a metal of silver. What is more valuable? Well, today, the price of gold, I have not looked up recently what the price of gold is. It's way up there. Is it $2,000? I don't remember the last time I looked at the price of gold, but it's certainly a very, very expensive commodity. And silver, on the other hand, is not as expensive. Relative to gold, the price of silver in the market is not nearly as expensive. So today, in our standards, we look at gold, and gold as a more valuable asset than silver. And indeed, when we list different types of metals that are presented in the Torah, generally, gold is listed first. And I can't remember. I saw this, but I remember years ago I came across a Chazal, some discussion that, is that always the case? Is it always the case that gold is more valuable than silver? Now, today, obviously, and again, the world that we live in, gold is much, much more expensive than silver. I guess it's more scarce, and gold is listed first. But if you study world history, all different countries in the world, again, this has to be researched. Was it always like that? Was it always the case that gold was more expensive, more valuable than silver? And even in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Mishkan, what is a more valuable metal? Is gold more valuable or is silver more valuable? Let's look at the Krushim. The Krushim were plated with gold, but the sackets were silver. Now think about that. Wouldn't you expect if you, the foundation of a structure would be the most precious metal? There's an argument to be made that if indeed it is true that gold is more valuable than silver, and we are going to have them both in the Mishkan and the Krushim, then we would plate, we would make the sockets of the Kroshim, which is the foundation of the Mishkan, gold. And the Atzei Shittim of the Kroshim, we would plate with silver. What is more important? The foundation. I mean, the foundation is something which I think is, one can really argue, is the most significant portion of the structure is the foundation. The foundation are the sockets which hold up the Kroshim, and that should be the most precious metal possible. And they should be presented with gold. And the Kroshim is secondary to the foundation, and that would be silver. But yet, that's not the way the Mishkan stands. The Mishkan had silver sockets, and the Kroshim were covered and plated with gold. There's a lot to be said, to be argued, that this is a demonstration, a revelation, that the truth is that silver is more precious, is more valuable than gold. And that would force us to take a, to relook at all of the various, all the different kelim of the Mikdash and all different parts of the Mishkan. Pretty much everything in the Mishkan was gold. The Kruvim and the Aron was gold. And the Menorah was gold. The Shulchan was gold. The Mizbeach HaZov is gold. There's not much silver inside of the Mishkan. And the Kroshim were also covered with gold. The only thing that really inside the Mishkan itself that was silver was the Adonim, the sockets, which kept up the entire Mishkan. That's a interesting revelation, and perhaps there is a dimension of silver being more valuable than gold. Okay, it's something which really needs to be discussed. Again, I think every single thing in the Mishkan was gold. They're talking about the primary portion of the Mishkan. Inside the Mishkan, the Kalim and the Kroshim, but the sockets that kept the Mishkan standing, Haloi Dover, is it not a significant fact that the foundation was silver? Okay, let's put that aside. Let's go to another idea about gold and silver. We'll try to bring some of these things together in a moment. Silver represents, it's called kesef. Kesef, Chazal interpreted very, very commonly in the rabbinic literature, is kesef represents the concept of kisufin. The etymology, the root of the word kesef, is the same as a word, an Aramaic word, which means desire. Kisufin. And in the world of machshava, in homiletics, silver represents love, desire, emotion. Gold represents the concept of harshness, midas hadin. And this is a very popular idea. Gold is midas hadin. Silver is midas harachanim. And you know, each one has its own benefits. Midas Hadin represents perfection. But we do know that the world is not, cannot survive on perfection. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, we match up the word gold and silver with the Midas of Din and Rachamim, we would match it up with Hashem Yudkei Vavkei is Rachamim, and Elokim is Din. Elokim is gold, and Yudkei Vavkei is Rachamim. Creation, we have the pasuk B'yoyim B'roy Hashem Elokim Es Hashamayim V'es Aretz. Hashem originally wanted to create the world with the midah of din, but when Hashem saw that the world could not possibly exist with din, Hashem joined to the din Rachamim. Hashem, he diluted the din with Rachamim, so the world could not possibly stand unjust din. Hashem had to introduce rachamim, mercy, to allow the world to exist. The Mishkan is a microcosm of this world. The Mishkan, by and large, the main segment of the Mishkan, which is the Kodesh HaKodashim, and the Kodesh, and the Kelim, there's gold, 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 wherever you look. But what keeps up the Mishkan? The sackets of silver. The sackets of silver is the Midas HaRachamim, is the mercy. So let's go to another idea. And this week, we find that Moshe Rabbeinu was accused, Chazal tell us, when the Mishkan was complete, the people who gave donations to the building of the Mishkan demanded an account. They wanted to know exactly where every single penny that they donated, where it went to. So when it comes to the silver, now the truth is this accountability was only done regarding the demand, was only done regarding the silver. And the Pasuk says, the Pasuk Chafim, in the parasha, Pasuk Chafes, the es ho elef ushva hameos vachamisha v'shevim osov ovim lo amudim v'tzipor rashahem v'chishak oisam. Pasuk here tells Chazal, tell us that people, they wanted an accounting of where all the silver went, and Moshe Rabbeinu had a difficult time, a difficulty in making an accounting for 1,775 shkolim. And people began to suspect that Moshe pocketed some of the money for himself. He took the money for himself. And Moshe would have been very embarrassed. It would have been a very big scandal if Moshe cannot account for those 1,775 coins. And miraculously, Moshe Rabbeinu, he remembered. He remembered that those coins were used to make hooks. These were hooks which the curtains, the Kali HaChotzer, were attached. On the outside of the Mishkan, there was pillars erected all the way around on all four sides to provide privacy for what was done inside of the Mishkan. And attached to these pillars were curtains. And what connected the pillar to the curtain? A hook. And the hooks were made from silver. So Moshe Rabbeinu, he remembered these hooks. And that's why it says, yes, for Elef, there's a unique musical melody. And there is the Vav, V'es for Elef, there's a Vav. Chazal tell us, I'll read the words. It's a Medrash Rabbah, Shemesh Rabbah. They tell us that Moshe forgot about these hooks. The 1,775. What did he do with it? He made the Vavim, the hooks. That's a very beautiful part. I want to try to say an idea on this word. An idea. The Torah here really goes through three different metals in this section. And it tells us the amount of money was collected. Tells us about, it starts off with the gold. Vayihi zehav hatanufa. There was gold. How much gold? Hesha the Eshrim Kikar. 29 talents of silver, of gold. Okay, it was gold, and it tells us the exact amount of gold. Then it says there was silver. The chesef pikudei hoido me'as kikar, 100 talents of silver. The elef ushva me'os v'chamisha v'shevim shekel, 100 talents and 1,775 coins of silver. And then it goes on to tell us, and it tells us where they got the silver from, and elaborates, and then it says, on what did they do with the silver? It was for casting Eis Adnei HaKodesh, the Eis Adnei HaParoiches, Me'as Adonim L'Me'as Kikar, Kikar L'Odin. It tells us exactly what they used it for, and then it tells us this famous pasuk, the S-O-L-F, the 1,775 was used for the Vavim, the hooks for the Amudim. And then it goes on to tell us about the Kappa. Unachoshes hatanufa shivim kikar, 70 talents. The Alpayim, 2,000 of the Arba Miyoshot. And what did they do with it? Vayaspa es Adnei HaPesach El Moed. These Mizbach and Achoshes, it does tell us what they did with it. Interesting, it does tell us. Vayaspa es Adnei Pesach El Moed. The Eis Mizbach and Achoshes. The Eis Mechbar and Achoshes Ashulo. The Eis Kol Kriya Mizbeach. The Eis Adnei Achotze Sove. The Eis Adnei Shai Achotze. The Eis Kol Yisleis HaMishkon. The Eis Kol Yisleis Achotze Sove. The Pasuk goes on, tells exactly what they did with it. So here's a question. Why is it that when it came to the gold, there is no accountability as to what happened to the gold? It does not tell us that the gold was used to make the plate, the kushi, and the gold was used to make the menorah, and the gold was used to make the kurim, and the gold was used to plate the aron. It doesn't go and tell us all of the different things that was used for the gold. It only tells us what the silver was used for and what the copper was used for. It only makes this calculation, this accountability, not by the gold. And by the silver, oh, Moshe Rabbeinu was caught. There was 1,775 coins, which Moshe Rabbeinu could not account for. And things got a little bit difficult. People got worried. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu took some money for himself. And then Moshe, oh, I now remember what I used the money for. Why didn't they hold Moshe accountable when it came to the gold and to know exactly what the gold was used for? So I came across in the Sefer a very, very beautiful verse. This is a really powerful word. And the word is, people had in their, the word is making a lot of suggestions, but let's assume that there are people that had in their possession gold and silver, copper. The people who gave gold could have also given silver. And the people who gave silver could also have given gold. The people who gave the gold were generous people. They said to themselves, how could I sit at home and have gold, a gold chandelier, gold vessels, when the Mishkan doesn't have gold? Let the Mishkan have the gold, and I'll be satisfied with my silver. And then there were people that said, no, at home we have the best. The Mishkan doesn't need the best. I don't go to the Mishkan. I'll give the Mishkan a silver, and I will keep the gold to myself. And copper as well. People give copper. That's even a cheaper metal. They don't have to give something so expensive to the Mishkan. Let the very wealthy take care of the Mishkan. Me, a little simple person, I'll give some copper. When it came to take inventory and to open the books, the only ones that showed up to make demands what the money was used for were the people who gave silver and copper. No one who gave gold showed up in the Mishkan to demand, what did you do with my gold? Why? The answer is, the people who gave gold, the very fact that they gave gold indicates that they are a generous person. True, authentic generosity doesn't stop with your donation. The same way you're generous in giving gold and not giving silver and copper, I give the best. That trait, that characteristic of generosity extends to your trust in the person to whom you're giving the donation. I'm giving a donation. I'm giving you the best. Not only am I giving you the best, I'm giving you my trust. The same way I believe in the cause, I'm willing to give you the best that I have. I'm willing to give you, to have faith in you, and to put my trust in you, and I will not challenge you, where did the money go? The people who are not as generous, I'm not giving you gold. I'll just give you a little donation. When there was a limit in the nature of the donation, that doesn't just reflect a person's desire. His desire is not as strong for the cause. It also carried over in his faith to the people to whom he gave the donation. I'm giving you a donation. I'm not giving you the best. I'm giving you the second. My faith in you is not absolute. I want there to be accountability because I don't trust you 100%. And therefore, open up the books and let's see where the money went. They go together. The people who gave the gold did not question where the money went. The same way they gave the best, they gave from themselves to Moshe their faith in him. I trust you. We trust you. We're not going to hold you accountable. We believe in you. We have faith in you. We're giving you the best material, and we're giving over from ourselves our ultimate confidence and faith, and there's no need for accountability. It was the people who did not give Moshe the best that they had. They gave him the second best. They are the ones who wanted accountability. What did you do with my silver? And when they couldn't figure out what happened with the last 1,775 coins, there were some hard questions to be answered, and there was no confidence in Moshe that the money was spent well until Moshe was able to demonstrate that it was spent well. It's an incredible Musa Haskell in faith in another person. Many times you see people who are fundraising. There are people who give very large donations, very significant donations, but it comes with a price. The strings attached. I'll give you this money, but I want something in return. I want you to do something I want you to add a program, give to a school. I want you to emphasize a certain discipline. I want this. I want that. This means a lot to me. Can you giving you all this money? Please, you know, there should be a course in the school that teaches this idea. Everything you like that. All the fundraising. Person who gives money always wants something in return. Not always. True generosity, a true gift, it's not just what you give. It's a demonstration of confidence in the one to whom you've given the money to, you've given the gift to. I have so much faith in you. The same way that I'm willing to give you a gift, and I'm not going to question you. I believe that you, only you, you in your position of running and leading this institution, you know what is best, where the money should go, how the money is to be spent. If a person doesn't have that trust, why are they giving their money to begin with? A true gift is faith in the person. We say today in davening, the first thing we say in davening is Moda Ani Lufanecha Melech Chayvik Yom. I thank you, Hashem. Melech Chayvik Yom Shechazarti Bi Mishmasi. You have returned my neshama, Bechemla, with mercy. And then we say two more words, Rabbah Emunah Secha. Great is your faith. What do those two words mean? So simply what it means is that it's a very great thing for a human being when he wakes up to have faith in Hashem. It is great for us to show our faith in God. We thank you, Hashem, for waking us up. And we realize we have a long day ahead of us. And it's difficult sometimes to get through the day. We have a lot of questions. Things don't go our way. A lot of different issues. Rabbah, it's a great thing. It's a great task. It's a great effort to express our faith in you, Hashem, to live a life of having faith in you. That's the most common interpretation of this expression, and it's a very correct and nice interpretation, but there's a problem. It's not grammatically correct. It should say, Rabba Ho'emuna Sha'anu Ma'aminim B'cha. Take me time to formulate a short form. Rabba Ho'emuna. Great is Rabba Ho'emuna. Great is faith. It's not what it says. Rabba Emuna Secha is your faith. And some of the commentators explain a different interpretation, which fits in exactly to what we discussed with the gold and the silver. And that is, why would Hashem want to return to us every morning our neshama? The chances of us doing an avera and angering Hashem are very, very high. Ein tzaddik ba'aretz asher ya'aseh tov v'lo yechatah. The likelihood that we do what Hashem wants from us and get through the day without doing averos is very, 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 very little. It's not very likely. So why would Hashem return our neshama to us, knowing that it's not likely we're going to make it throughout the day without making some very big mistakes? And the answer is, the Ribbono Shel Olam has faith in us. It is a great thing, Emuna Secha, that you, Hashem, have faith in us. You, Hashem, every morning, you give us a neshama, a very delicate, precious item, which is very sensitive and should really be put away in safekeeping. It's a pure, holy object, item. But you trust us. You say to man, I know the odds are stacked against you, but I have faith in you that you will carefully take care of the neshama and do what is proper on this day. The Ribbono Shel Olam is like the person who donated gold to the Mishkan. Not only did they give the best, they never demanded from Moshe a calculation, an accounting of where the money went. If you're good enough for us to give you a donation, you're good enough that we have faith in you that you will spend the money in a responsible, appropriate way. That's what the Ribbono Shel Olam does every single morning. He gives us gold. He gives us our neshama. There's nothing more valuable in this world than a neshama. Elokai, neshama shenasato bi. How could Hashem give us the neshama? It's very likely we'll damage the neshama. Rabba emunasecha. Hashem demonstrates his faith in us that we will do the right thing with the neshama. Hashem has full faith in us. In the Mishkan, the people who gave the gold, they had faith. Their faith was gold in Moshe. Those who gave only silver, gave copper, they wanted accountability because their faith in Moshe was not the same. We've expressed different ideas in this topic, summarized with gold and silver. There are different dimensions, different, there are different ways of looking at gold and silver. On the one hand, still gold is, its value is extreme. On the other hand, we've looked at silver as being in a two, in one dimension, even more fundamental. It represents rachamim, cannot be ignored, the reality that the Mishkan with all of the gold was built upon a foundation of silver. It says in Shir HaShirim, Nikuda Itoyre Zohav Naselach in Nikudois HaKesef. In time of the Geula, we will give a gift. We will make for Hashem. There are different ways to interpret the pasuk, but let's learn it right now one way. We will craft for Hashem an ornament, a symbolic ornament, Toirei Zahav, a decoration, an ornament, a piece of jewelry that is from pure gold with Nikudois, dots of silver. The Milois, the advantages of gold and silver, will be intertwined. Each one has its advantage, and La'asad Lavay will be able to have the talent of selecting the best qualities of gold and the best qualities of silver and bring them together as a beautiful adornment, a symbolic adornment and crown for HaKadosh Baruch. Thank you for coming and listening and learning with me. May you all have a wonderful week of blessing, success. And now, as we come into Adar, Mishanichnas Adar, Marbin, Besimcha, Medesimcha, and our lives grow and grow. We should take joy in serving Hashem, achieving our purpose on this world, Baracha, and success, and Nachas, and everything that we do. Thank you. Have a good night. All the best to you all.